Blog Talk Radio.
Show here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Henderson, and I am broadcasting from, well, actually, I can't even say that anymore now, though, because, like, now we're actually coming from, like, what, two, maybe three different places right now. I'm your host, Mike Henderson, and along with my lovely co-host, Vanessa McCarroll and Crystal Senegal. How you doing, ladies?
Hello.
Hello, hello. We're doing great. Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, Crystal?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Well,
Miss Vanessa.
I'm fantastic.
And Mr. Michael.
I am fine. I am grand. I am great. I am wonderful. And tonight, I'm probably going to be in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And mainly stems from tonight's episode, which is titled Black Women, Where is their Place in Modern Society? Now, tonight I'm going into what promises to be a straight-up battleground as I explore the role of the modern black woman, and I'm going to solicit the viewpoints of my two beautiful co-hosts. Lord help me. Okay, anyway. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good anyway, though. But right now, as it stands, we're actually in three different places in the continental United States. I'm in Dallas, Texas. Vanessa is in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have no idea where. Well, Crystal's in Alabama somewhere.
I'm incognito, honey. I travel the world.
Incognito. Okay, well, fine then, since you travel the world. Okay. And. Oh my God!
No, Michael, I'm in Alabama right now.
Okay, you're in Alabama doing. I'm leaving it at that because if I start prying,
okay.
It's gonna turn into another show. So I'm gonna leave it at that. That being said, though, I enjoy you ladies on the show. I had so much fun last time, and I'm looking forward to even having even more fun as the shows go by. So
me too.
With that being said. I'm shying away from the politics and everything else as well, though. I'm going to stick straight to the point. Here we go. So now, black women, where is their place in modern society? I thought about this because, you know, as of late, there has been quite a bit of furor about the role of black women in modern society from a professional standpoint, even from a personal standpoint. And It brought to mind a couple of questions, and so it's a two-part deal with me tonight. So I'm going to ask you ladies these two questions and see what you think about it, okay?
Okay.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
Question number one. In the professional world, have black women been given due credit for their accomplishments, or have they been greatly diminished? I mean, in your opinion.
Okay. You want me to go with that, or do you want Crystal?
Yeah, I picked on Crystal last time, so I'm picking on Vanessa this go around.
I guess I would say for sure that we don't get as much recognition as we should, with the exceptions of Michelle Obama and Oprah, Rosa Parks. Those are women that we know. In history, you know, that's made change for black women. But for the everyday woman, no, we don't get as much recognition from our hairstyles to our fashion, our music. We, you know, we're still kind of in the shadow of our counterparts. So I honestly don't think that we do at all.
Your counterparts meaning other race, women of other races?
I mean, just as white men. It's usually white men, and then black men, and then, you know, black women. You know, so we're not recognized near as much as black men are. When as far as even the brutality of police officers are doing to our black men, there are women that have been shot by police officers, and we hardly hear much about it. It's a little media, but mostly don't. It's kind of just under the rug. Sandra Bland, we heard about her, and then she was gone. But we continually hear about our African-American men, and black women continue to protest, and we're out there when it's our black men, but, you know, when it's a black woman, I just feel like, you know, we're kind of, you know, the media doesn't view us the same when it comes to that. And in a lot of different avenues, you know, that we are always, you know, the fourth on the totem pole, if not less.
Okay.
So that's how it feels.
So those women that, you know, that actually do prominent things as well, though, usually, like, or just, you figure, like, they're just, like, just one-shot deals, that's it?
No, definitely not one. No, definitely not. It's, how can I put it? Oprah, like, we look at Oprah, you know, Oprah chains can buy a T-shirt, and then the whole world buys it. You know what I'm saying? She's one of the few that we can actually speak of. We have Michelle Obama that does great things. However, she still is talked badly about, poorly about from the world. You know, no matter what she does, no matter what the black woman does, and or no matter how much she accomplished, they are still always people out there that still have a problem with it and still try to bring them down, no matter who they are. It's just how society is when it comes to black women, and black women in so many ways are invisible to the world.
But I think also, Vanessa, I think that has a lot to do with our own culture as black people. I don't think that, you know, white America looks at Oprah and, you know, let me say this. I don't think that the majority of white America will look at Oprah and put her down. I think it's us as a black community. We have an issue with our own selves and a self-hatred that we tend to put ourselves down, or, you know. And when we talk about, for instance, Gabby, the Olympic,
gymnast,
the little girl.
Yeah, Gabby Douglas. Yeah, Gabby Douglas.
Gabby Douglas, exactly. She wins these medals, and all of a sudden we're talking about her hair. You know, it's us. It's black America. It's black women putting our own self down because we have this self-hatred. You know, you want to talk about this girl's hair, but at the same time, she's just won a gold medal. You know, so I think that's issues amongst ourselves. I don't even think white America even looks at us the same way we look at ourselves.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Let me touch on something, because you made a real good point, though, Crystal. Now, you're looking at the idea like Gabby Douglas, and I'm going to use her as an example. You know, with that great of an accomplishment, you know, and this isn't the first time that she's actually been in the, you know, been in the spotlight either. And you mean to tell me that with all her accomplishments and everything she's actually doing, though, the only thing you can focus in is on her hair?
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't realize that, like, you know, you can go through, you know, you can do what she does on the Olympic stage, you know, flipping around and doing all other stuff too, like that, and still maintain a hairstyle. I didn't really think it was even possible, even valid as well, though. I mean, like, you know, what you do a triple axel up in the air and you come down and you do it still tight, really?
Right.
So you're asking, like, where's our position in society? And when I think of society, I'm thinking of all our counterparts. Not just targeting on our race, because we already know that in our race we have a lot of controversy and confusions and debates. But as a society, meaning our other counterparts, be that white men, be it black men or white women, where are black women at this point? Not really where we are within our own community.
Yeah, well, let's break it down just a little bit further. Yeah, break it down just a little further. Okay, let's say, for example, from a professional standpoint, a professional woman in the corporate sector,
mm-hmm.
a entrepreneur in the, you know, mm-hmm. entrepreneur with her own business.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm kind of walking away from the Oprahs and the Michelle Obamas.
Okay.
Because of the platforms that they're on.
They're exceptions to the rule.
They're exceptions to the rule?
I would say not exceptions to the rule. Yeah, they're exceptions because those women are exceptions to what you're asking the question about where black women stand in society.
Okay.
You know, so those
they would
black
be the
women, black woman that's a CFO or CEO in a company.
So those individuals, because of the positions that they're in, though, they are the exceptions to the rule. That almost suggests that, yeah, okay, they're treated differently because of their position, but not because of their actual competence. In other words, though, had Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey had just been like, you know, said just like, you know, one, let's say Michelle was like just a lawyer. Right, even though she is like she actually does have those credentials as well, though she was just in just your average lawyer, and Oprah was your average, you know, entrepreneur. They will be treated differently.
I don't know. We would have to see what they was in those positions, but I can tell you that women that I know that are lawyers and women that I know are just everyday entrepreneurs, they do feel different, or they're not treated the same as their counterparts. That I can say. Not
by their peers, you know, by their peers, or the okay.
But wouldn't that be all women though? Wouldn't that be all women? Not so much women of color, but wouldn't it be women, white women, black women, Hispanic women, Asian women, any woman that's in a certain just women period, you know?
Right, and I would say that if that subject we were talking about just women in general. And I just think that the question was black women in society, because regardless how we want to look at it, white women have white privileges that black women don't have, if we just talk about just women. So the question was basically based around black women and not just women in general. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
when we're talking about, we're talking about black women, we have black men have different privileges than black women have in society.
Do black men have different privileges than black women do in society?
Okay. I was reading something today, and I think I sent it to you guys, and I don't know if I did or not. They were talking about the prison system. In women's prison system, there are 60% of them are African-American women. And most of the African-American women are in there because they call this thing the girlfriend, you know, law, girlfriend rule or whatever. It's because they're in there because they – did not want to turn on their drug-dealing criminal friend, boyfriend, right?
Okay.
So they get less time in prison than the black woman is because she won't tell on her man. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think black men have, there's certain things that they can get that we can't, or, you know, because they are a man, not because they are black men, it's because they are a man.
Okay.
So we are always the white man, the white woman, the black man, and then the black woman. You got to be one of them, that or not.
Okay, so it's always going to be the white man, the white woman, the black man, then the black woman.
I won't say that it
was always told. But I was told from a white man, the greatest thing next to a white man is, the most powerful thing to a white man is a black woman.
Right, we know that, but society doesn't all know that.
Society knows that. That's why you have your Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Now, that's why you have women injecting their lips.
Right. And the braids.
Big ass.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It is that.
It was so funny, Crystal, our girl and I and Michael, we were talking the other day, and we were like, you know, talking about the cornrows and different braids that, you know, from God knows how long we've been wearing them. And, you know, the Kardashians wear it, and it's like this new hairstyle all of a sudden. It's this new, like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, they came up with this new, the Kardashian is rocking this new hairstyle with the braids. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, we've been wearing braids since, I'm 40 plus. It's time we wear braids forever, you know?
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. I'm going to throw this in here real quick, though. From a professional standpoint, can it be argued because of that take that some people actually have then on professional black women or entrepreneurial black women, that some do, you know, take offense to that.
They take offense to that, though,
and they take it personally to where, like, it actually does reflect on how they deal with other people as well. And I say that because of this. Because there are women, some women, I won't say all, some, okay, that pick up on that from people, and they react badly to it because of it.
Okay, maybe I'm not clear on what the question actually is.
I'm going to go and throw the colloquialism out there as well, but the attitude.
Okay.
So the attitude is projected because that exists, because that thought process out there in society exists. So could that be a reason why they feel the way they feel because of that, though? And then for some, they project the attitude.
Well, I think that if what black women are saying is that if we would get credit for the things that you guys are mimicking and the things that you guys are taking claim of, that has, you guys have no history with that. From the clothes that we wear, just like Crystal said, injecting your lips, big booties, all those things were natural for black women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Our skin, our color, our skin tone, they want to tan. People want to look like us, but they don't give the credit to say, no, that's not why we did this. We did this because of that. And not saying that I am copying a black woman.
Mm, okay. Okay.
So now. We have an attitude toward the person that I see that is wanting to be like me. It's just the fact I know she wants to be like me.
Okay. She wants to be like that.
I think that because we are beautiful, you know, and I think that if we as black people embrace our own cultures and our own beauty, and, you know, our big lips, our big asses, and this has actually just come, recently have we been able to embrace that, and I think it's a lot of self-hatred we have within our own culture.
Right.
Okay.
Which kind of brings us to question number two. And question number two is the persona of the modern black woman more true to form or mostly stereotypical?
That's deep.
Okay, you know, for real. And I say that because of these factors. Listen to these, okay? I told you I was coming in loaded, so here we go, okay? Because of, like, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to, you know, her status in, you know, in the family dynamic, because of how her own perceived self-worth. And what we've had to deal with from a society standpoint as well, though. I mean, think about it. Guys flocking to certain women because of the way they look.
We're talking about men in general.
But a main focus on the black man and her worth to the black man.
And her worth to the black man?
Her worth
to
the black man.
Her worth?
Yeah, her worth to the black man. How it's perceived. Because let's face it, though, there's a monster deal when it comes to black men and black women, though, because there are men out there that do believe that it is easier to deal with a woman from another race than it is to deal with a black woman because of
her attitude.
Exactly.
I believe that when you... Our black men say that they have a problem with their black women. It's the rejection from him. I think it has something to do with him, his insecurity. With black women, I feel like you have to conquer other races. They will just bow down to whatever you say. So a black woman is a talent. You know what I'm saying? We're not. You're going to have to show and prove. And that's just the way it is. And
just show
other
and prove.
Black men, they just have a, you know, they, I actually did an article a few years ago about this, and I spoke to some black men that were in interracial relationships, and I remember one of the guys that was a surgeon saying that when he married outside of his race, he felt like he was at the epitome of his career.
Okay.
I actually thought that it was insulting, but, you know, of course, you know, when you're interviewing someone, you can't really be biased. So for me, I was like, what do you mean by that? He said he dated black women in college when he had nothing, but when he achieved his goals, he married outside of his race because he felt like he had made it at that point. But to me, it's because you felt like they weren't a challenge for you. And that's how I viewed it. Like, if a black woman wasn't a challenge, you know, you have this status, you still would have to work for that black woman, where other races, you don't have to.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, I got a call on the line, though. Let me see exactly who this is. Oh, you're calling into the Mike Henderson Show. Go ahead, caller.
Here we go.
Here we go. Hi, here we go. Should I be worried?
Is it
yeah,
me?
How you doing?
Am I on?
Yeah, who we? Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry about that. I'm Sapphire, and
okay,
I'm listening to the show. Hi.
Okay.
I'm Sapphire.
Hi. How are you? Listen, I'm not going to take up much of you guys' time, and I'm just
a caller.
And I want to give my opinion, and I want you to know that it's going to be controversial.
Okay.
And so many of you will not agree with me, but I feel a responsibility to speak to what I know. And I'm going to tell you what I know, because you posed the question, what is the black woman's worth?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, that was a very deep question, and I'm going to say this. If we could pose that question to every single solitary black woman on this earth, and then we could in turn teach them what their true worth is and what their true authentic history is, this world would never be the same.
Thank
you. Understand what I'm saying here? Now, many people will say this. They want to deduce the black woman just to her relationship with the black man. But I want to say this. I put this disclaimer on here. I'm not a feminist. I don't subscribe to feminism because that is an agency. You know what feminism is? You know how you buy your little girl a Barbie car and she can get all mixed up thinking she can drive it in the real street? Well, that's what the white man does to the white woman with feminism. She thinks that she has power, but she's just driving a Barbie car. See, while he's driving what? while he's driving what?
Enzo.
An F-150. No, he's got the real car that could do damage, but she's got this little plastic kid's car. Oh, anyway, having put that out there, what I say about the black woman's worth, the black woman, hear me, black woman, is the sleeping giant. There are more black women on this planet than there is anyone. And when people reduce you to being just a wife and just a mother, I tell you that's a trick. This is your day. And when you stop, and please don't be offended by what I'm about to say, but when you stop wrestling with the mundane, when you stop letting baby mama hurt you, when you stop letting shit like weeds hurt you, when you get, when you take a brave look and all the things that are being said about you, they talk about you like they talk about the white man because they know you're powerful. And I say to the black woman, stop letting this shit hurt your feelings. Speak truth to your true power and do this. Get with your mama, your sisters, your aunties, and your cousins before you get married. Establish some wealth amongst women so that when you get married and you divorce, that shit can't be taken from you. If you don't want to have children, don't. Be a good auntie to your sister's children or the children down the street. I'm not calling you to teach men how to be men. That's not your job. You have an XX chromosome from black female. You're the first person on earth. What are you doing trying to worry about? Worry about somebody making you a wife. If you were on this earth for millions of years by yourself, I'm saying before anybody ever came out of the XX chromosome. The black woman was here by herself. That should answer questions for you. So I say research yourself. Get all the money we spend on weave, makeup, and shoes. That's fine. But what we need to start doing is We need to start bartering weave and makeup, and we need to take our money and invest. Black women need to buy apartment buildings. You need to learn how to live together so that you can accumulate wealth. Marry who you want, but I'm going to tell you what I would do. If I were a single black woman who was like 23 years old and I had a really good cousin or sister friend, I would hook up with them and I would do some business ventures. I'm not talking about entrepreneurship because too many personal things go into that. I'm talking about buy some property, get pulled together, buy a freaking radio station. Stop worrying about relationships. That's just a trick. You're more than some foolish man's wife. You can accomplish things, and when you own property, you own a right to say. Be like the Asian man. Don't give a damn about this political system. It ain't never helped you, and it never will. But when you have holdings, you can talk shit to people. So you can talk shit when you own some things. And that's the black woman's worth. She is worth more than anyone on this earth because everyone comes from her. And when you stop talking crazy to mama, you can stop being cursed. That's what I say to everybody else. Put the black woman back in her high place, and we can have some peace on this earth.
Thank you, Seth.
My answer.
Okay. All right.
I love you. There you go.
Thank you, Seth. I appreciate that. I got to find something to do with myself now.
I love that. That was very, very true.
It was on point, you know.
Yeah, exactly. As well, though. And that's what it pretty much actually boils down to. And this is my opinion, though, if I could even voice one now, especially after that. Though. I mean, how do you even follow that up? So now. I should just hang up and let her have the show. But to me, and this is just like, now this is coming from a man, which is actually going to sound kind of weird. So bear with me, okay? Now, when it comes to the idea of self-worth, you know, especially when it comes to the black woman, naturally a lot of people would actually consider that a serious steep road, hill to climb. But not when it comes to the idea of actually recognizing your self-worth. And I believe, Crystal, remember that guy we were talking about last week about the idea when you actually posed that question about who you are?
Right.
Yeah, exactly, who you are. When you recognize who you are and where your place is when it comes to that, though, nothing else should actually matter. Nothing else should actually matter as well, though. I remember, like, when I was in the military, I had this gun training class, and I actually trained women. And there were people that thought that women couldn't handle handguns. It's a lie. Those women fired everything that a man could. As a matter of fact, out of the 8 women that I trained, there were at least 4 of them, though, that shot better than I did that day.
Okay.
Yeah, so a woman's capabilities, when it comes to that, though, are usually watered down by old beliefs, stereotypes, all that well, and that's crazy to even think that or even believe that, though. You can achieve just about anything as well, though. A lot of people want to rail against the idea because of traditionalism. They want to rail against it because they figure, like, okay, this is the way it actually should be, though. But what does that do for you individually? Nothing. You know, it could be a wonderful way to diminish you in some way. But anybody that really truly actually cares about you, especially as a person, though, is going to wind up actually trying to make you the best you that you can. They're going to be fully supportive when it comes to that. And a lot of people don't do it. Because, well, them, it's more like, especially when it comes to men, it's an ego shot. Now, going back to the idea like the black man, the black woman, that kind of thing as well, though, because one of the main reasons I think as a man that they actually go against the grain with that as well, though, is because they fear what that person is capable of.
Hmm.
A lot of men, and I know I'll probably get cut for this one, fear what a woman is actually capable of doing. You know, a lot of women, you know, if you actually look at men in business versus some women in business, you know, the difference in a lot of cases is night and day, especially when it comes to black men and black women. And I know a ton of them, though, a ton of black female entrepreneurs that run circles around their male counterparts. Literally, will
be. I definitely believe. I think that black men fear black women and advancement. You know, I think they have an issue with seeing, you know, they feel less powerful when there's a black woman giving them mm-hmm. instructions. You know, and I think that's
it is the idea of the ego, though. But when it comes to the, you know, but at the same time, though, if the main goal, like guys that won't listen to women because they're women, not because they're capable or incapable, because they're women.
But that's a man's insecurity.
Yeah, exactly. That's male ego and insecurity right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about them, though, but, like, I have worked with women on several occasions, though, and the individuals that work with me, two of them having been on the show, by the way, know how I feel when it comes to it as well. if you're bringing something to the table that's actually going to make our situation better, though, I'm all ears.
You are, for sure.
By that same token as well, though, I don't have a problem with listening to you, though. This is not about my damn ego.
Right.
And you have to find a way to put that in a box somewhere when it comes to the idea of reaching your objective, though. If you're, like, for example, okay, you know, we work together. And if you're making a suggestion to make this show better, I'm taking that suggestion. What the hell are you here for? And if I can't listen to you, if I can't listen to you, why are you here?
Well, you know,
yeah, why are you here?
But I just think that's the difference between men being leaders and men being controllers.
Yeah.
There's a difference. And I think there's a lot of men that have issues with women suggesting things or, you know, giving them ideas is because they are control freaks. And not only just control freaks, it's because they're insecure about things. And so when you're insecure, you have to control a situation. You have to demean a woman. You have to put her down. You have to make her feel less than because you have no control and you have no focus. Men that are leaders, when they put room, they don't have to say, I'm a leader. They exude that, and they are willing to compromise and listen and take suggestions. So that's the difference between a leader and someone that's in control. And I think that's the real difference. I think a leader, a black man or a man, period, you know, when they're a leader, they're secure about themselves, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, they are secure. So they can take whatever is bringing to the table because they want to advance as well.
But I know you two, though. I can't control you and Crystal. Who the hell's got that kind of time?
That's the difference between real men and little boys.
Can you actually see that? I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not even trying to put them on the spot. I'm just being very, very real right now. I know these two ladies. There's no way in hell I'm going to get away with that one. And I mean, not without somebody, like, you know, the very next week I won't make the show. You know why? Because I'm somewhere between you know, Alabama and Georgia hanging from a tree.
No, I understand what you're saying, you know, and I think that if a lot of men would just, like she said, be true to themselves and know their self-worth and self-value, women.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and when it comes to that as well, though, going back to the idea of, like, you know, the stereotype thing, which is a big deal as well, though, the stereotypical thing as well, though, but nobody really understands exactly why that is. Why that is. Why you have women that feel that way. Why you have women that react that way, or even act that way for that matter. You know, angry. You know, disappointed.
I'm saying, like, a strong black woman, I think it makes society less empathetic, you know, to what the real woman struggle really is.
A stereotype, though, that has been placed on us through society, the media, that we're just angry black women?
Well, hold up now, because I can kind of argue that one a bit as well, though, because there are some women, and this is, like, from my own personal experience, I've come in contact and dealt with some women that really do, in my opinion, I could be wrong, but in my opinion, don't know the difference between being hard and being strong.
Absolutely.
They don't.
I know the difference between being hard and being strong. I know I have to be hard in certain situations, and I know I have to be strong in situations because of the way I was brought up. you know.
Yeah, that's altogether true, though. But you still, it doesn't mean the idea you can be strong without being so ultra hard to where, like, nobody can get through there as well, though. But at the same time, you, there may be a reason why you have those guards up as well, though. Because
What is being hard? Yeah.
Like Darth Vader in a dress.
What does that mean?
Unnecessarily difficult.
Okay, give me an example.
Give me an example, though. Okay, yeah. I can, like, even dealing with people, though. Some people actually, you know, they come at you genuinely, though, and you always think that there's something up with them. Naturally, overly suspicious. I can understand the idea of need for caution, though, but to the point where you actually have your guards up to where, like, somebody couldn't deliver your mail to you.
Okay, so you need before proven innocent, basically.
I mean, you could actually approach somebody and actually be genuine, and they automatically think that you're trying to get to them in some way or trying to get over on them or something like that as well, though. Really?
But, okay, I think that comes with past experiences. And sometimes we tend to jump into situations when we're not fully over that situation. And so I would have to say, from a woman's perspective, that I have met men that are very bitter, that are very angry, upset, you know. And when you have a conversation with them, you're compared to the exes. You know, I did this for them. I call them what I used to be men. They tell me was what he used to do for their women. So we meet those same types of people when we're in the dating world. You know, we still meet those types of people, not only black women. We're not the only ones that are angry, bitter, and mad. There are black men out there that are very angry, bitter, and mad. But they're viewed completely different. As for us, if we are, as you say, hard, you know, you stereotype us as being bitter. Or we're angry, and that's not.
Okay. And, yeah, and that's the thing, though. The bitter, angry individuals who wind up looking at everybody like that. I know there's some guys out there that do the same exact thing, too, though. And at one time, I'm going to be honest, here it goes, true confessions. I did that at one time, though. Why I did it, I have no idea. But I do know why. Because of what I dealt with in the past. Because of what I dealt with in the past. When I let that go, I had to acknowledge I was even doing it.
Can you hear me? I think that you're labeling black women as being bitter and hard. I think black women have a lot to deal with in society as a whole, as being black women. Not alone being, you know, we deal with our own issues. We deal with our own insecurities as being of different colors. So you might deal with a darker-skinned woman that has dealing with a lighter-skinned woman. We have those issues, too. So,
I know it as well, though. But by the same token, I can understand the idea of feeling that way toward the individuals that actually did that as well, though. But is that fair to everybody else that didn't?
It's not fair. But you have to. But all that compiled on a woman who is sensitive, who is, you know, we're beautiful creatures. We give birth. We give life. You know. No, I'm serious. We deal with a lot. And when we want to lift our men up, and our men don't even want us either because they don't feel like we are, you know, sensitive enough.
And that's very true. So we have to look at, like Crystal said, you know, when we do all those things that they say they want. They want a woman to have their back. They want that support system, someone to encourage them. And we put our lives as black women on hold to make sure that our kids have that, to make sure that our men have it. And at the end of the day, they will jump up and leave you destitute with nothing, and feel like it's fair and it's right, or we owe them. They feel like they're entitled to. And then so when we have to pull ourselves back up and start all over from scratch, we still cannot stop being mothers. We still have to provide. We still have to do all of that now by ourselves. So, yes, when that next person come in, we're going to be very protective. of our hearts, our emotions, how we handle situations, not that we're trying to blame the person before us, but when you go through something like that, it is devastating.
Okay.
You're strong. I mean, you guys are strong. You keep saying that to us and keep telling us that we're strong, keep saying that we're strong. What happens? We start becoming this person that is very hard.
Yeah.
Because everything that happens to us, everything that goes on, you're strong. You can handle it. You know, you're a black woman. You can do it. You know, but when we want to be
not good enough. But it's still
we want to be like men. We're trying to do this. That's not the case. The case that we give men opportunity, and then we do more than once. We don't have to, you know, it's one guy or two. It could be several men that we've done this for. And these men will continue to do the same thing because we tend to meet men that aren't secure with themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're not team players. They are users. They want, you know, they don't care.
But that's what, going back to the caller just said, I can't remember her name. But that's what she said. We have to love ourselves. Miss Sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
We need to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You have your self-worth and your self-value. And once you learn that, you know, sometimes we have to keep rebuilding that. You know, that sometimes we learn by experiences, we learn by our mistakes, and we keep moving. We don't just fall apart. You know, a lot of people just not, I mean, they're not as strong as we are. Black women are very, very strong people.
Yeah. Okay.
And that
so,
is true.
Yeah,
I'm still here. Can you all hear me?
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, sir. Can I know your name?
Mike.
Here's my question to you. I hear a lot of that black women are too strong, and a lot of them are so very angry. Now understand what I'm saying here. If we were to take that strong black woman that we're misconstruing as anger, okay, if we could take that and channel it, I think that is a golden resource because you understand there are different women built for different things.
Okay.
Notice that they pick those kind of black women to run Fortune 500 companies. They may say who the CEO is, who's making all the money, but trust and believe when it comes to hiring, firing, and human resources, they want some sisters up in there. Why is that? Because you can't call her off her station just for any kind of old thing. That's why they have her there. So I'm saying, what if we realize the gifts that these sisters have who are ball breakers? I'm going to tell you something. If I had a corporation, I'm looking for some black ball-breaking black women. I want somebody to protect my money and my assets. I don't want somebody that as soon as a dishwash blonde walks through, my money walking out behind her with the brother. Not saying all brothers do this, but I'm just saying there is a place for everyone. Not every black woman is the same, but we need to quit beating them over the head with that. And here's my question to you. Why is it, I noticed this, that people paint black women as angry and bitter and mean-spirited, but when they get sick and laid up in the hospital or shot down by the police, they want that loudmouth black woman that's saying, no, you're not getting away with this. I'm staying right here until you see about what you did to my brother or my husband or my son. Now, it's okay. They want her for that, but they want her to shut up every other day of the year. See, that's what I call a dichotomy, and that's not fair. And I have to say this before I hang up about that's my question to you, sir. Put a pin in it. And I want to make this quick statement about the black man who says that interracial dating, you know, puts him in another, how do we say, category of upward mobility, or so to speak. I notice this when people talk about interracial relationships, they only talk about the black man and the white woman. But let me show you how clever the white man is. When you look at statistics, the black woman there, the white woman, they are washing her face with how she's with black men, having babies. He don't marry her. He make her the white baby's mama. But they never talk about the white man. The white man is the biggest interracial dater and marrier that there is. And